Tu mala, Peningandre de Gila de Garagadigere, Legrenina, Zaberiana, Bori, Regedigade, Regedigara, Zapri de Melekiala, Mare de Regenina Calibrade, Elimirandian, I am God manifested in the flesh, Mekalialu, Maria de Rekenina, Legadiba Sopanian, Kenina Candi, Rekedigada, Regazibrende, Regeria Boni, Mala, Perigando, Reganiana Kire, Perigalegara. Legenima zebrando una balebre e le credi cara subradenia na grandi rimicania na gossiba regene melegia de rekenia na grida balopra de rekenia la caribarata le graduze brede rima le bande rekenia na balati maruden de calabarica soprashata take from within and put upon now melica da de le grande ricassi brado la caribre de regeniva la carigra de ricana balatoria la le maure cani eleke Regala si prenda ragani brado le marikende radica sabire regere melombrani le gradire enderi kana su haiele tarabala me kavure le rekeni kana sabani anabala shirede le grindi malatu regede 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 regedi kala sirede le namalu regede rebere kere 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 kande la tari le marandi ala hiala tike regeni anabala te Le bradu se prendere rerebi ali brado me karuende kania sete regerebe regia li brade maroni ali rakashirada ehe marile lele 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 le kerimalo balira ne rekete si dandora maliada jerima le ba rakadi ken seteria le garade me karuende berete regenia nasi raliate me karuanda rakani kesa Barike, Rakanjele Kerebelikade, you can ama subrida, Rabali Brade, Regeri Rakadise, Brendi Canatonia Nabashirebe, Ligradi Gredevia Librandona Malabri Rakatosiada, Ligradura Malabri Darabale, Brenderekia Lacadise, Tenia Lagala, Ligrandere Kenina Gazubre Meleria Rabala, Erika Sabron Dranacadia, Legredi Bravombra Ligri. Regede gede 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 casa edia na bradura canaba dice ele canaba lusa parikata lu sharibede regende be kila sabirende. Thank you Father, for in Jesus mighty name we are still praying. Isaiah chapter 43 from verse 18. This is our anchor scripture, this is our word scripture for this month. Okay, don't worry, I will read it from my hand, but sister, comfort, you can read all scripture from us and forth. I will just read this for myself. Now, Isaiah 43 and verse 18 says, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now, listen to me. Now, new things may not be manifesting in your life if you do not allow it. Praise God. Praise God. See, one of the major obstacles, this is something that I heard clearly, one of the major obstacles to us not being able to receive the new things yet, for some people, because new things are beginning to manifest in my life. Now, for some of us that are yet to manifest, is because we are unable to receive. Praise God. Now, you are not going to ask God and say, let God come and remove the obstacle. Mm-mm. Obstacle number one, remember you not the former things. Stop holding on to the old things. Praise God. Stop holding on what? To the old things. Now, if there are any other obstacles that are standing in your way, one of them is unbelief, another is the confessions of your mouth. We just want to pray today in the name of Jesus. We want to pray and want to remove the, we want to by ourselves declare that I remove every obstacle to the experience of the new things that my Father has set to do. Are we together now? Are we together now? This is what we want to declare now by yourself. By yourself. So if your issue is now unbelief, I want you to, because prayer will not take away the problem of unbelief. We should be frank with each other. So if your problem now is unbelief, I want you to go back later and study the scripture, confess it to yourself with your faith comment. Are we together now? But if the obstacle is another thing, you can remove it now. Are we ready? Yes. Now can we begin to pray? May Garia Gazibrede Le Gradine Kanima Lord Kiala Shata. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command every obstacle standing on the way of the new things that my Father is set to do, I command them to be removed. Every barricade I have put up by myself, I command them to be removed now. In the name of Jesus, every barricade that the enemy has put there, I command them to be removed now. In the name of Jesus, mekerika subrenda ratirende kharia ka gagasuse berika naramale brede keni malate reganise regede 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 regesi lalo elebani ana kanji rekeni kano shata regana malobi ende kandori embereteria garasi helia lalo ololo kolo 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 ni ane keni la eyani amasu legende regende 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 regeni kasira ande reteria la gasuri la miele la kati remeshe riba la rekana regana sirende rekanino na bali kanto kana rebele biana satire tarakatu ye kasiele berete di karandi la kasi prendere che ni brata shirandere meleria la balatira helia lo pale haleba 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 la sitaranda ire kanda sira balo shata merila le alika 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 I see the new things me kaliba leta ye malasi rendere che ne belekada I receive new things me kalibe le krasubre Reganda, Rigezi, Ala Shirende, Amileka, Wemle Teribala Sopialata. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. And so, Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and adoration. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you speak to us in your word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That we may experience your fullness
Amen.
In our lives
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For in Jesus' mighty name, we are still praying. Can somebody say, God is in me. God is for me. God is with me. And God in me is not less than God in heaven. God in me. Is not less than God in heaven. God in me is not less than God in heaven. God in me is not less than God in heaven. What can happen to God can't happen to me. In the name of Jesus. What can't stop God cannot stop me. Because I am born of God. I walk in victory. I live in victory. I am victorious. I live by what Christ has done and not by my own efforts. I am not limited by what my efforts are. I am not limited by human understanding. I am not limited by human laws. I am not limited by the wisdom of men. I am not limited by the power of men. I am unlimited. I am unstoppable. I am irresistible because I have the life of God in me. In the name of Jesus. I am a God being. I manifest as a God being every day of my life in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we've declared. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we start from verse 17 down to verse 21. For some weeks now we have been looking at the fullness of God. And today, by the grace of God, we want to complete this series and round it up once and for all. To the glory of God, we've been able to talk about the fullness of God, having the life of God. We've been able to talk about how God operates. We've been able to talk about how you, as a child of God, you are a God. We've been able to talk about the gateway to the experience of the supernatural. And we've been talking about the component of God. We said in our previous meetings that God have a particular life. And it's because they share in this life that they are gods. All right? And this life is what we know as the eternal life. And we said that this eternal life, we have said rather, that this eternal life has five manifestations. These manifestations are life, light, might and strength, wisdom and understanding, and the last one is fire. These are just five manifestations of the life that is in you. So whichever one of them that you need, you can manifest them from inside of you. And so today we want to take away hindrances to the fullness of God. hindrances to the experience of the fullness of God. So you have heard that you are a son of God. Praise God. You have heard that you are a son of God, but there are hindrances. And sincerely, I am trusting God to help us to understand, to be able to cover all the hindrances today, because there's so many of them. Now, we'll start from the area of faith and righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Please read. Whenever you are ready.
2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can I continue? And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Thank you, man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. This is a scripture we are familiar with. But our emphasis is on verse 21. Now, verse 21 says, he that knew no sin, that God had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, from verse 17 down to verse 20 explains how we have been reconciled with God, how we are new creations in Christ Jesus, how that we are ambassadors for Christ Jesus. But our emphasis is on verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. As an ambassador, an ambassador is a representative of a person. So when we say an ambassador, it is different from an emissary. An emissary is a messenger, it's carrying a message. But an ambassador is representing the person, both in deed and in presence. So essentially, an ambassador has the power, or should I say, an ambassador has the requisite authority to operate as the person he is representing. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. So if you're an ambassador of Christ, you have the requisite ability and authority to operate as Christ. Now the scripture is saying, we beg you, be reconciled to God. Because God has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, notice the Bible said that we will be made the righteousness of God in him, not that we will attain righteousness. We will be made what? The righteousness of God in him, not that we will what? attain righteousness. Now, why is this important? We'll see soon. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible said, please, you're still going to read verse 17 for us. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Apostle Paul said, I am ashamed to share the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, both Jew and Greek. Doesn't matter. Now it says, for therein, in this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're going to treat the issue of righteousness and faith as one. Praise God. We're not going to take them separately. We're going to take them together. Because Romans chapter 1 verse 17 actually brings the two scriptures together. It says that the righteousness, okay, will be revealed by faith. Now, what is righteousness? Perhaps let's start taking it one by one. What does righteousness mean? All right. So righteousness simply means having a right standing with God. Now, the reason God is the standard for righteousness is because God is the Holy One. Or should I say, God is holy and is the creator of all things. So if he is the creator of all things and the owner of all things, he sets the standard. So if it is God that sets the standard, your righteousness must be based on him. I will take it now. So if you are righteous, it is because it is God that has declared you righteous, because you have probably fulfilled, a sort of justification. I mean, you have gone through some sort of exam, something to exonerate you, something to make God say, okay, you have fulfilled the standard. So look at righteousness this way, that righteousness is meeting up to God's standard. Now, that's righteousness, that you meet up to God's standard. So meeting up to God's standard means that you are able to walk with God. Praise the Lord. So there is a standard to operate the fullness of God that is in you, and it is righteousness. Now, this is the beautiful thing about righteousness. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 now says something, 17 rather, says something interesting. It says, this righteousness that is God's standard to be able to operate the fullness of God in you, to be able to operate the life of God in you, it says, is going to be revealed. So, the standard of God to operate the life of God in you is not by your own actions. It's not by your own sacrifices. It's not by your own attempts to being holy. It's not by you keeping the Ten Commandments. It's not by you bringing a sin offering, a burnt offering. It's not by you doing anything in the physical. Meeting God's standard is by revelation. I want to get it now. Now, this revelation will come to you as you live by faith. So for most people, their challenge is not with righteousness. So it is not that you're struggling with righteousness. The problem is that you're struggling with faith. So every time you hear that you are a son of God, you can stop the devil from doing whatever the devil is doing, and you find it difficult to process. The problem is not righteousness. It's not because you think you sinned yesterday. I mean, you think you made a mistake yesterday. It's not because you lied yesterday. The problem is that you don't understand faith. I'm not saying you should go about and start lying. I'm saying the problem is not that You are unrighteous. The problem is that you don't understand faith. Because see, righteousness comes, or say, righteousness is revealed as you live in faith. That's why every time you see the word righteousness mentioned in the New Testament, most of the time, what the matter, when it comes to righteousness being in operation, when righteousness is being described as being in operation, faith is mentioned. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No condemnation. So all that we have said that you have, there is no condemnation. There is nothing that can disqualify you from manifesting as the life, from manifesting as light, from manifesting might and strength, from manifesting wisdom and all understanding, from manifesting fire. There is nothing that can condemn you and stop you from manifesting as God, because you have the fullness of God. If you've been baptized, you've received the Holy Ghost, you are a believer, you have the fullness of God. There is no condemnation for you. It does not matter. I'm being honest with you right now. It does not matter what you did yesterday. There is no condemnation. Let's get that in first. There is no condemnation. Now, there's just one tiny little issue. If there's not going to be condemnation, the Bible completes and saying, for them that are in Christ. Now, look at it. There is no condemnation for them that are in Christ. It now says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? The Spirit. Now, how do you walk in the Spirit when you can't see the Spirit? This is the problem with most people. So, we operate the Spirit by the flesh. We try to operate the Spirit by the mind because we can't see the Spirit. I mean, we can't see into the spiritual realm. We can't see our spirit literally. And so, we don't know how to operate it. Since this life resides in our spirit, we cannot operate this life because it is in the spirit. If this life were to be in our bodies, if it were to be in our minds, it would be a lot easier to operate. Because that is a realm we're familiar with. The Bible says there is no condemnation for you that you are walking in the spirit. Now, how do you walk in the Spirit? The Bible says that, for the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. So, walking in the Spirit requires walking by the law of the Spirit of life. Praise God. So, what is the law of the Spirit of life? If we were to translate that law, it is simple. It is simply living by faith. The law of the Spirit of life says that the just shall live by faith. Now, if the just tries to live by any other means, the just will not be able to live. So the just is unable to live the life that is in him. The just is unable to manifest the life that is in him because he's not trying to live it by faith. The just is subjecting the life in him to his senses. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Can somebody say, I have peace with God? Now, if you're confident about that, I want you to say it out loud so that your ears can hear. So just mutter it. Say, I have peace with God. I have peace with God because I have been justified by faith. I live by faith in Christ Jesus. I have peace with God. So the problem, the first hindrance, the first real hindrance to the manifesting, or say the manifestation of the fullness of God that is in you, is unbelief. That's the first hindrance. Unbelief. Let me show you something. First God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, very popular scripture. It says, for to us was the gospel preached as well as to them. Now it says, the same way the gospel was preached to us, it was preached to some set of people. It says, but the word preached, the word that they hear, did not profit them. Because it couldn't mix with faith in them that heard it. So all of the messages you have heard about the fullness of God, everything you've been introduced to that you have, all that you have heard that you are able to do, hear me now, it is not going to profit you if you don't know how to mix it with faith. You remain just the way you are. I'll be frank with you now. You remain just the way you were if you can't combine the word of God with faith. Now, how do you mix the word with faith? How do you mix the word with faith? Philemon 1:6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by what? Acknowledging every good thing that you have in Christ Jesus. The communication of your faith will become effectual. So, if the word is going to become profitable for you, you have to mix it with faith. Now, Philemon 6 says that the communication of your faith will become effectual when you acknowledge every good thing that you have in Christ Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, hear this. Faith is of the heart. It is the confession that makes the result come forth. Let me repeat. Faith is of the heart. It is the confession that brings the word forth. So, you can have faith, but as long as you do not speak out of your faith, there will be no result. As long as you do not speak out of your faith, there would be no result. There would absolutely be no result. So, combine the word you have in with faith. How? By confessing, acknowledging every good thing that you have in Christ Jesus. So if you don't have faith, let's be frank now, you can't manifest the fullness of God. Now, how can you have faith? Because the Bible says that if God has dealt with every man a measure of faith. The truth is that you have faith. I mean, you may not have faith for exactly what you want to do, but you have at least faith. You have a background of faith. You have the ability to have faith. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. It takes faith to become a believer. So if you're a believer, you have a measure of faith. What you need to do is to increase your faith. And this is why Romans chapter 1 verse 70 says that the righteousness of God will be revealed from faith to faith. So what will determine the level of the fullness of God you are able to manifest at each point in time is the level of faith that you have. Each point in time. So, basically, faith is what many people call anointing in this part of the world. They'll say, the anointing on your head is stronger than the anointing on this man's head. So, we'll say, you are stronger in the spirit than we are. So, you can pray heaven down, but we know what we can do. It's only the sick that we can heal. The difference, for the layman now, is just about faith. Now, the thing about faith is that you can't have faith without the knowledge of the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, this is what we're saying. The word that you have heard about the fullness of God, that we've been talking about 3 weeks now, if you can manage to confess them back to yourself to the point where your spirit can hear them, then faith will come. Practically, you can begin to say, I have life. The life in me is the life of God. The life in me is my light. The life in me giveth me might and strength. The life in me giveth me all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The life in me produces fire. I am a consuming fire because my Father is a consuming fire. And you continue to say these things to yourself, you get to a point where your spirit will hear it. The day the word enters into your spirit, because with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That is to say, with the spirit, man believeth unto righteousness. So the day your spirit believes what you are saying, then faith will come. The next confession you are going to make about it, what you see is results. So can somebody say again that I have God in me? I am not alone. I am not alone. I manifest as God. So the first entrance is faith. Believer. Now, the second hindrance to the manifestation of the fullness of God that is in you is a poor understanding of righteousness. What does that call it? A poor understanding of righteousness. Can we please put these things in the group? Thank you. The first hindrance to the manifestation of the fullness of God in you is unbelief. The second hindrance is a poor understanding of righteousness. Now, we were saying earlier that righteousness is God's standard. It's simply measuring up to God's standard to be able to do something. Please note that. Measuring up to God's standard to be able to do something. So if the Bible says that you are righteous or you're justified, it means that God already deems you measured up to his standard to be able to do something. Now, being righteous is different from becoming the righteousness of God. No. They're not the same thing. Actually, becoming the righteousness of God is becoming God's standard for getting things done. Are we getting this at all? The first one, being righteous, is measuring up to the standard. The second one, becoming God's righteousness, is becoming God's standard for doing things. So yes, you might be a man, but you may become by reason of your, you know, of your walk with God in faith, you can become the standard through which God gets, I mean, God gets things done for a dispensation, for a time. We have seen this in the lives of many of our, shall I say, fathers, as we like to call them in this part of the world, fathers in the Lord. Many of them, because of their walk with God and faith, they became God's standard for getting things done. And so people, through them, these men could pray for literally anything. They could literally pray for anything. I mean, what even does not require prayer? They will pray for it and it will happen. I mean, I'll give you a practical example. They could pray for the dead person and pray to God, God come and heal the dead person, when in actual sense, they should have just laid hand on the person and the person will be healed. And yet, because they pray to God, God will still honor them and the person will still be raised. The reason was because they had become God's standard for getting things done. So God was not looking at whether they were doing it right or not, because he had declared them righteous because of their walk with him. He looked at them, he looked at the scenario, he looked at what needed to get done, and declared them fit for the work. And then the fact that they did many things out of, you know, not clear understanding of the word, they were not so educated, God still walked through them every time. So many of those things are being corrected now. And I'll be frank with you, many of the things that even we teach now, because we know in part, would be corrected in another dispensation. What I'm saying is this, that understanding of righteousness is an hindrance. Righteousness is not by your efforts. Can somebody say that to themselves? Righteousness is not by your effort. It is not because of what you have done. It is not because of what you will do. In fact, it is not even because of the instruction that God has given you to go and do that you are doing. You are righteous because God has declared you righteous. Now, that's your starting point. Your experience of righteousness gets better as you live by faith. But pastor, what if you sin? We'll get there. Because I know some of us, that sin is an issue. But pastor, what if you are going through a rough patch? But pastor, what if you are mentally unbalanced? But pastor, what if the situation is so tough that you can't just, you don't just feel like manifest, you don't just feel like a son of God? Surely the Bible didn't say we should walk by our feelings, did it? The Bible says that the law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of what? Sin and death. So it's simple. You have to pick between the laws you want to operate. The law of the spirit of life, that is living by faith, or the law of sin and death. Touch not, taste not, and do not, heat not, do not do this, do not do that, steal not, thief not. So you decide, which of these laws are you going to operate by? Now let me tell us once and for all that a believer in Christ cannot operate the life in him by the law of sin and death, because you have already overcome sin. Are we together now? Get this clearly now. It does not matter what you did. And sincerely, it does not matter what you do not do. What matters is whether you are in the will of God or not. Shall I repeat that? It does not matter what you did. I mean, what mistake you committed. It does not matter what you did not do when it comes to manifesting as a son of God now. What matters is whether you are in the will of God or not. Now, the will of God is the word of God, which is a requirement for the faith that you need to manifest as a son of God. It's a straight line. So there's no way we go, there's no corner we cut, we always come back to faith. There's no shortcut. We come back to faith. Always. Even if we were to talk about walking in love, walking by love, we'll come back to faith. There's no way. So that's the second entrance. Write it down. It is not by my effort. It is not by what I have done. The promises of God does not depend on what I am doing, on what I have done. So if God says, I will bless the works of your hands, or say if God says, I have blessed you, and you look at yourself, your annual income is less than 2 million naira, and God has said, I have blessed you, and you want to embark on a project of 50 million, God asked me to embark on a project of 50 million. So the next thing you should not be looking for, rather, is how you are going to now begin to probably increase your income, or ask God how. Because many have asked God how in the past. Abraham didn't ask God how, he believed God. Praise the Lord. He didn't ask God how. He just believed God. That's the second entrance, righteousness. But not by my own effort. I live by what Christ has done. Not by my own effort. I have the righteousness of God. I have the righteousness of God. In the name of Jesus. Now, entrance number three. Okay, entrance number three, the issue of sin. The issue of sin. Now, this entrance is very related to the problem of righteousness, holiness, godliness, and condemnation. Perhaps you should define these words. Now, righteousness, I've said, is meeting up to God's standard or God's standard for doing things. Holiness is a status. Hear it very well. Holiness is a what? It's a status. If we are asked to be holy, even as our Father is holy, are we together now? The question I want us to ask is the question we should be asking is this: did our Father have to go through a means of justification for him to be holy? No. Did God have to obey any law, touch not, kill not, taste not, do not before he's holy? Now, what makes you now think if you are a son of God, you have to go through any of this to be holy? I am not asking you to be misbehaving. I am telling you that holiness is a status. You have become holy because you have become holy automatically because of your nature. I want to get it now. The third word is godliness. Now, this is an ability that is in you because you are God. Now, it is only natural that a carrier of the life of God, okay, would have the ability to live like God. Because godliness is the ability to manifest as God. These are not behaviors. They are simply manifestations of the life that is in you. Am I saying misbehave? No. Am I saying there is no law at all? No. Are we together? But I'm saying, and if you can't hear me well from your hand, please just click on my icon in the meeting and increase the volume. It will be from your hand. Just click on the icon where it's showing that I'm speaking, the mic, click on it and increase from your hand. Thank you. So back to the third hindrance, the issue of sin. So let me settle this now. You are holy. Sincerely speaking, it has nothing to do with what you did yesterday. I mean, it does not even have anything to do with what you did this morning. You are holy. You are holy because your spirit is holy. You are godly. You are godly because your spirit carries the life of God and has the ability to manifest like God. You are righteous. You are righteous because you have been justified by faith. We will soon see that the problem of sin is but a peripheral. You heard me well. And it affects to a point only. I am not saying sin is not a crucial thing. I am saying it is not big a issue. You have thought it is. Now, John chapter 13. Sister Comfort. John chapter 13. We're talking about the issue of sin now. John chapter 13, and verse 34. Thank you, Father. Mary Brady Rikisima Latirende Kenya Libra Shati Bre Tereberi Rata Suprada. Ari Kendere Kenya Sabasho Tari Brendere Kenya Labati Kasata. John 13, verse 34. Is it no longer in the Bible?
John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if ye have the love one to another.
Thank you. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are disciples for Christ, right? We are followers of Christ. He now says, this is the law for you, followers of Christ, that you love one another. In fact, when they asked him which of the commandments is great, he said, there are two. The first one is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy might, and with all of thy strength. That's one. And then two, he said, the second one is like it. That is to say, the second one is is on the same level as the first one. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what this means is that in the New Testament, hear me now, as a believer that you are, the only law you are mandated to fulfill does not come from the area of do not, but from the area of do. Are we together? It does not come from the area of what? Do not do this, but from the area of do this. And the law is love one another. Now, let's break it down. You can only love a fellow believer like yourself. That's one. For unbelievers, what you can do for them is kindness. This is why love and kindness are both fruits of the recreated spirit in you. Now, this is beautiful. God will not ask you for something that you will not be able to do. If God is asking you to love, He has given you the ability to love. Let me repeat. If God is asking you to love, He has given you the ability to love. So this is why love is not just a commandment. It has gone from being a commandment to a responsibility. Imagine that you already have the responsibility to, you have the commandment to do this, and you have the ability to do it. So if you choose not to do it, now this is not you just committing a sin. This is you failing a responsibility. Are we together now? So failing in this responsibility will affect you. It has absolutely nothing to do with probably God stopped liking you. Mm-mm. Are we together now? 1 John 4:11 to 17. Let's look more about the issue of sin. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 to 17. Whoa, our time is fast spent. We need to hurry. We still have about 5 more scriptures to read, so let's hurry. 1 John 4:11 to 17.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man had seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's 14. Should I continue?
Yes, continue. I read enough to verse 17.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world.
Praise God. Now, look at it. The Bible says that God loves us that much. We ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. Now, this is it. Since no one has seen God, and you are carrying the life of God, so if you love a fellow person that is carrying the life of God, you are loving God. Now, if you love a fellow person a fellow brother carrying the life of God like you, you surely would not hurt him. You surely would not lie on him. You surely would not steal from him. You surely would not want to do anything that would make him fall. You surely would not gossip about him. You surely would not, hurt his family. You surely would not fornicate with his wife. You won't do any of those things because you love him. You would be free from the sin if you were to walk in love. Now, this is where it gets interesting. And the Bible now says, all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. Is this not big enough? All those that declare Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and them living in God. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. And God is love. And all who live in love live in God. Hear this. All who live in God live in love. All who live in love live in God. Do you want to manifest the fullness of God? Walk in love. You want to manifest as God on the earth? Walk in love. That's why the Bible says that all things work together for those that love God and who are called according to his purpose. One easy way, I am teaching you, one easy way, okay, to manifest the fullness of God is to find out the purpose of God for your environment and how you can fit in. Find out the purpose. I'm being specific now. Find out the purpose of God for your workplace and learn how to fit in. Find out the purpose of God for your church and learn how to fit in. Find out the purpose of God for the community you live in so that you can know how you fit in. By the time you learn this purpose, you will discover the assignment God has placed in your hands. And in the performance of your assignment, there is ability. If you knew that it is the plan of God for every believer in Christ to be healed, and you also know that it is the plan of God, okay, that in the name of Jesus, when you lay your hands on the sick, they will be healed. You would not see someone that is sick and first tell them to go and buy drugs before you pray for them. In fact, the first thing you want to do is, can I pray for you? You ask first, can I pray for you? Because you know this is the purpose of God, that this person no longer remains in sickness. You see a believer that is struggling. Okay, a brother like you that is struggling, rising and falling. And you notice that this person is not filled with the Holy Ghost. It is the purpose of God that all believers have his spirit living in them. So you call him and say, brother, can I show you the scripture quickly and pray with you so that you can receive the Holy Ghost? And you will pray with them and they will receive the Holy Ghost. You don't need a title to do any of those. You don't need a title to raise the dead. You don't need a title to heal the sick. You need to stop focusing on the things that you shouldn't be doing and start focusing on the things that you should be doing. What am I saying? What I'm saying is this, that you can commit a mistake. There is no problem in that. Our time is fast spent. We'll not be able to look at all of the scriptures. In fact, the next few scriptures we're about to read is going to shock you. The Bible says, herein is our love made perfect, that we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Hear this. Your love becomes perfect. Well, so that you can have boldness when you have to judge. Because the day of judgment refers to every day that you have to judge things. It might be Satan today, it might be nature tomorrow, it might be demons next tomorrow, it might be sickness next tomorrow, any day. So I believe that every day is judgment day. For me particularly, every day is judgment day. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, your love, you have boldness when it comes to judgment. You have boldness when you have to deal with things. You have boldness when you want to manifest as a son of God. Knowing fully well that you are as the Lord Jesus is. Knowing fully well that you are as the Lord Jesus is. This is your confidence. How many people know fully well that they are as the Lord Jesus is? Can you pray in tongues for 1 minute? Digest it. Digest it. Le gradusa prade raka de brande rekenina sateria laborire le crederi cantare cana subania na shiretia i laboratori kende si la rure embre kenima la kandika satonia barashata i gradore re keni brande che si tieni ana basura shata ribrete la grendra ma la brendi ma la tu prendere keni bla tegia na saliba shata ere merenkia la brandura si prende di cana tombra na shirende le gradibre che di basatoria para che prendere che ni praticando sa palate e le candia na grandi bre che seria la prendere che lei alle brandura malascite e le prende che na malu sa prati e la grire re che di grandi di cania na sapire entre veloria para shatipa e gradi produsa prendere che ni na prodira palatica le grandi bre che le sia ra palu chambra ma di crembe le che riprati pri na sora bashata mala e gradi re che I carry the life of God. Elesi andra bali brendere che librande be cansura mashara balete le crembere che libera sura malascire embere che libera tiga mi grandi de che libera sura shafire me le che libera balatega regani masate. For in Jesus mighty name we're still praying. First John chapter 3 from verse 8 to 10. Quickly, let's read the few scriptures we left, and then we just share one or two things and then go. Carili carriata you get a semi anata. First John chapter 3 from verse 8 to 10.
First John 3 verse 8 to 10. He that committed sin is of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God.
Now, the Bible says that there's no enough time to, you know, to dwell on this scripture. Let's just hold on to the point and go. Now, the Bible says that whatsoever is born of God, or say, whosoever is born of God, it says cannot commit sin. Is that not shocking? Are you born of God? If you are born of God, God asked me to tell you that you thought that sin has been your problem, but he said you can't commit sin. This is why. Because the seed of God remains in you, and the life of God can have no relationship with sin. How is this even possible? This is how. Because the spirit that is called you is of God. And the spirit is the one that is born of God, not your body and your mind. It is the spirit that is born of God. So if the spirit that is born of God, which is you, cannot commit sin, it means that you cannot commit sin. Now, if you find yourself in sin, what then is the problem? If you find yourself in sin, what is the problem? It means that something is responsible, but not you. I mean, something is responsible, but not the real you. That something that is responsible is your body and your soul. And you might be wondering, are they separate entities from you? Man is a spirit. He lives in a body and he has a soul. I'll repeat, man is a spirit. He lives in a body and he has a soul. So originally you are a spirit, and God is saying you can't see. Now hear this. 1 John 2:1-2. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, I don't like this version. Please give me King James version. The King James version says, if any man sins, we have an advocate. Now, hear this. There is a difference between a man and what is born of God. Now, if there was no difference, the Bible would have said, any man that is born of God has overcome the world. Or any man that is born of God cannot commit sin. What the Bible said is, whoever is born of God does not commit sin. 1 John 5:4 didn't say any man. It said whatsoever is born of God. So it means that there is a difference between what is called man and what is born of God. How do we know the difference? Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. The Lord God formed man. So the dust that God molded was already called man. It was when the breath or spirit of life entered into the dust that the man now became a living soul. So there is a difference between a man and a living soul. A man is dust, but a living soul is flesh. I mean, dust now transforming into flesh, carrying a spirit. So the moment the spirit leaves, the man goes back to being dust. So the man himself is but dust. Now, 1 John 2:1 says, if any man sins. So this is evidence that when a child of God finds himself in sin, I'm speaking to you, hear me. When you find yourself in sin, it is not you that have done it. The truth of the matter is this. It is your body and your mind that have colluded together to do it. Your spirit did not partake in it. But there is but one sin. The sin unto the death. We won't talk about it today. If you want to know about the sin unto the death, look for our teaching on the issue of sin. You will be clear about it once and for all. But hold on to this, that you cannot sin. If you are confident about that now, say to yourself, I can't sin. I can't walk in sin. I can't live in sin. So if you find yourself doing a mistake, it is but the man that has done it. I want to go there now. Now, if you now find yourself in this, there is a quick way to deal with that problem once and for all. God understands. So there's a quick way. 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Now hear this. If your spirit, that is you, is born of God, it has the life of God, and it is righteous, though will it need cleaning again? I'm asking us. Your spirit definitely wouldn't need clean because it is already clean. So what would need cleaning is what? Your body and your what? And your mind. This is also an evidence that it is not the spirit that committed the sin. He says, so when you now confess the sin, your Father will forgive you. And the blood of Jesus will now wash away the sin from you. Will clean your body and your mind from all what? Unrighteousness. So, if at all you find yourself in a sin, it's a terrible place to be. And he wants to be an hindrance to your manifestation as a child of God. Don't allow sin to be an hindrance at all. So even when you have committed it, hello, Learn to confess and be done with it once and for all. You have overcome sin. Don't let it keep you captive. Are we together now? I'll just give us two more scriptures for that study. Galatians 3, verse 27. Read it down to Galatians 4, verse 1 to 4. Galatians 3, 27. Read it down from verse. Read it down to Galatians 4, 1 to 4. The last issue is the issue of condemnation, and then we'll go. Now, condemnation is a byproduct of sin and disobedience. I'll just paraphrase this so that we can leave. Our time is fast spent. Condemnation is a byproduct of sin and disobedience. So when you disobey God, you begin to feel condemnation in your heart. Now, I learned something very interesting, and I was shocked when I discovered it. That first and foremost, it is not God that condemns. The Bible says, who shall lay a charge to God's elect? It means nobody. Even the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in your spirit does not condemn you. Jesus said, the Father has committed all judgment to me, the Son. And he says, I'm not judging you. So it's not even Jesus that is condemning you. Now, who is condemning you? Yourself. Your condemnation starts first from your spirit. Are we together now? Condemnation begins first and foremost from your spirit. And it starts from your conscience speaking forth, telling you that you have done something wrong. Now, the moment your conscience tells you that way, because your conscience is the voice of your spirit. So the moment your conscience speaks forth like that, telling you that you have done something wrong, just go straight and address it. Don't allow the condemnation to grow. If you allow the condemnation to grow and stay in your spirit, then Satan comes in and pick it up from there to amplify it. Once Satan begins to amplify it for you, then it becomes a battle of the mind first before you can now solve it in your spirit again. This is why many people, though they have asked for forgiveness, they have not forgiven themselves. Because originally, when their conscience reminded them of the issue, they didn't deal with it immediately. They allowed it to grow into condemnation. This is why Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So if you have spiritual wisdom, you overcome condemnation. Again, condemnation is not an hindrance. I have come to tell you that condemnation is not what? An hindrance. So I want to give us a minute now to pray. If it is that you are dealing with condemnation in your heart, or you are dealing with one condemnation or the other, or you are still dealing with guilty feeling, let me put it that way, regarding one sin or another, I'll give you one more opportunity for you can confess the sin to God now. Now. And be clear about it. I will together now. So once you have now confessed the sin, we'll pray together about the issue of condemnation, and then you'll be set free. And then you can go ahead manifesting as God. But know this and know peace. That every time you find yourself in a mistake, your Father understands your spirit was not involved. Now, this does not mean you should go ahead sinning up and down. No, 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 no. Please don't do this. This is not a license. In fact, Galatians 3, verse 27, we just don't have the time to read it. Down to 4:1 explains that this is the behavior of a slave, meaning that you have refused to grow as a child. And so because you have refused to grow as a child, there are some doors of the manifestation of the fullness of God that will be locked to you because you are not living by faith. Don't forget, if you are living by faith, you will be growing. And so if you are living by faith, you will be avoiding. ultimately you walk in love. Be able to make some mistakes. So the issue of sin will be so random and so unintentional that you can quickly not just deal with it once and then be going your way. Sincerely speaking, don't make a life of sinning. You will not be living in faith, and then the revelation beyond that level you are. I will tell you now. So you have overcome sin. And of course, this is the good news that you have overcome sin. Take the minute now to begin to confess that sin. This is for as many of us that are experiencing condemnation of one kind or the other. It's serving as an hindrance to our manifestation. It is the reason why you can no longer pray in the spirit again. You now find it difficult to come to God and pray in His presence. You find it difficult to come to God and worship Him. You find it difficult to come to God and enjoy His presence, because you know that you have done something and it's making you now fear God. It's making you want to run away from God. Confess it now. He is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins. Confess it now. Don't say any sin that I have sinned. If you have sinned, go, confess the sin, go. I will together now. Now, if you can't remember anything, don't try to put a sin on yourself. It's all right. You can just continue to thank God because you can't sin. Father, I thank you because your life remains in me. I can't sin. You, Father. If you are, I'll still give you 30 more seconds. If you are still confessing this sin, confess this sin to God now. Ask the Lord just to wash you clean from all righteousness in the name of Jesus. The sin of unforgiveness, the sin of bitterness, the sin of disobedience. Confess them once and for all. Be done with it. Now, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus,
amen.
Father, we thank you because you are wonderful. We thank you because your word, wherever your spirit is, there is liberty. We thank you because even as your word has entered into our lives, there is liberty. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray for as many that are suffering from condemnation of any kind, in the name of the Lord Jesus, even as they have confessed the sin and they are forgiven, I command every manifestation of condemnation in their hearts, in the name of Jesus, to begin to shut up now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Every condemnation is removed now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. If we see, if there be any spirit, any voice that is not from God, enforcing condemnation and serving as an hindrance to the experience of God in the life of anyone under the sound of my voice, by the count of three, those voices begin to shut up. 1, 2, 3. It is done. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can we begin to thank God? Can we begin to thank God for all that He has good, for all that He's going to do amongst us? Do through us now. Father, we thank you because we have what you are going to do through us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you, Father. We say thank you, Father. We say thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Can we pray this one more prayer and then we'll go? Father, I make myself available to do your will. Use me as you will. Now, this prayer you are praying, expect answer from God and manifestations will follow. Father, now if you're not going to make yourself available, don't pray with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I make myself available to do your will. Use me as you will, in the name of Jesus. Can we begin to pray now? I make myself available to do your will, in the name of Jesus. Use me as you will, Father, in the name of Jesus. Use me as you will, Father.